Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. We make landscaping simple with our free, easy-to-use design program and step-by-step project guides. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block at the best prices. Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your outdoor project started today. Save big money
at Menards. Hey guys, if you want more Girls Next Level tea, behind the scenes, and deep dives, head over to our Patreon page for the exclusive content you can only find there. We have a whole other podcast called Slumber Party with Holly and Bridget. We have the commercial-free, uncensored video version of Girls Next Level, our personal scrapbooks, advice, Q&A, and so much more. I'm up in the comments talking to you guys. It's all the good stuff. We've been doing this for about a year and a half now, so there's a ton of content to binge. So go over to patreon.com/girlsnextlevel to join our Patreon family. We love you guys so much. We'll see you there.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast, everybody. We are back with a very special guest. We have Marston Hefner here with us today, and we are recording at a studio in Santa Monica, which we've never been to before. We drove separate, and I was later than you guys. Do you know why I was held up?
No. Why?
Well, because I never come to Santa Monica, and I'm driving down here. I'm like, I have to do a drive-by of the studio because the Playboy studio used to be down here. And as you guys know, I have so many fond memories of working there, and I had to do a drive-by.
I didn't even think that. Yeah. I thought something happened to her on the way here.
You're like, that bitch can't find parking.
But that's what I thought at first. But then when you were like, I have a story to tell you when I get there, I was like, something must have. I told Marston something happened on the way.
It's not like a big story, but I had to drive by. And it was interesting because I saw like the condo I used to have. I saw like the greasy burger joint that's not there anymore that we used to order burgers from at work. And I drove by the studio and it's still there, but it just looks like there's no signs out there. You can't tell what it is. It just looks like a boring office now. And
didn't you grind there? Like you were like seriously working at the
studio. I loved working there. Yeah. It was like 5 days a week. Like I'd drive whatever Playmate we were shooting there every morning. And it was just fun.
I remember you were like,
it was a good
coming up at the Studio West.
It was,
people were talking. I remember
it was a fun time for sure. So what have you been up to since we last talked? Remodeling, dad life.
Yeah. Taking care of kids. And I've been like full-time dad, and it's been honestly, okay. When you like walk down the street and someone like doesn't open the door for you, or someone like, you know, like a barista is like, fuck you. Like they don't say fuck you, but they're like
attitude
thinking like, fuck you, bro. I have like a lot more sympathy for people because I think that people like that are really stressed out and they're just fucking like overwhelmed.
Totally.
And I've experienced that a little taste. I'm really glad I have, because I feel like I empathize more with the kind of assholes of the world a little bit more because there's just, it's nonstop.
Well, having a new baby and going through a renovation is a lot.
The renovation's easy. Yeah. I mean, we got like a contractor, and they're professional. They're not scammers. So it's been pretty good. Yeah, being full-time dad, it's hard. I think you guys would understand, because like all of us have dreams and all of us have ambitions and all of us like want to pursue something and really take it as far as we can. And a baby is like the ego killer. It's like, it's incredible. It's like whatever you love most before baby, like whatever you cared about is like too bad. And that's like so beautiful to experience for a little bit. I think, so it's been nice.
Yeah, it's an interesting adjustment for sure.
Yeah.
But like I've said before, once he gets into preschool, you'll have more time for your other stuff.
I want more time. It's so weird. It's like, how am I going to celebrate my vacation here? Like, how am I going to celebrate this business trip? And I was like, I want to create art. And it's like, usually that's like my work. But now it's like, yeah, let's do it. I'm more excited about it. And I'm more in touch with like, do I have the time and space to do things, and just being respectful of like my life being busy now, sort of thing. Yeah.
So I know you guys want to know, like recently, Crystal Hefner came out with a book, and, you know, of course we have thoughts on it. We've been going over it on our Patreon, kind of going over every little thing. But before we get into that, we want to go back in time with you a little more and just talk about your life during that time period and what that was like and everything. So what was the timeline relatively, like you don't have to say exact years, but like when you lived at your dad's house?
Oh yeah, that. So I was in San Francisco, University of San Francisco, figuring out my sexual identity, very serious time. And then I met Claire, and then we were dating, and Claire wanted us to live together. And so I moved to Los Angeles, not moved. I came back to Los Angeles, and I was staying with my dad for some reason. I don't know why I wasn't staying with my mom. And I was staying there from maybe, you know, the dates are hard to understand for me to understand really, but I would say 2010, I was living there for about like 4 to 6 months. And then I left, I went back to college, back to San Francisco. And then there was another time where I graduated Chapman University, philosophy undergrad. And I was vaping in my mother's house. And she said, are you vaping? I said, no. And she said, you got to live with your dad. And
I said, this is so relatable.
Fuck you. Yeah. It's like, you don't love me. How could you? And so then I lived with my dad for, not sure how long I was there for, maybe like a month or two.
And you lived at room 3?
I lived in room 2.
Oh, you did? I thought it was room 3.
Yeah, for some reason I thought room 3.
Room 3 was my childhood bedroom, but room 2 was like my favorite room.
Yeah.
One of them. I loved room 2. So actually, I might have been in room 3 when I first stayed there. And then I think Anna left, and then there was the other Trisha. Shout out to Trisha. She was really sweet. And I think she left too, because Crystal, there were rumors. And these are all rumors. Everything I say here is a rumor. She wanted to be like the only girlfriend. And then it was just, and then me in room 2.
Yeah.
I'm curious, was room 3 still pink?
Yeah, I think it was.
Because I know at some point they changed it. Like they painted it back to blue. And I was so sad. I was like, oh.
When you were there, did they have the circular bed? They had my dad's circular bed there.
Oh, so I had a circular bed in there, but I took it with me because it was one that I got. Mm-hmm. And then they put your dad's circular bed in there.
Yeah, that was interesting. My dad's like 70s circular bed. That was not a comfortable bed. I don't think it was aesthetically pleasing.
We talk about that bed a lot, even recently. Yeah. Like it gets a lot of airtime on this podcast.
It does. Do you know, did it vibrate? Because we don't remember it vibrating. We remember it rotating.
It rotated and it had a bunch of switches and stuff. I feel like it had a lot of features that like no longer worked.
That makes sense.
That could be, yeah.
So you've mentioned before, like when we've talked privately about how you felt like there were always a lot of people you had to go through to get to your dad. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that for the listener a little bit?
Sure. This is all my opinion. Let me say it again. So there's like, yeah, I think it's pretty common for like very high profile celebrities to have these like power structures. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to name names, but like just very famous iconic actors have these bizarre power structures set in place. And so for me, like for one thing, I got an allowance, which was like my trust. My father made a trust for me. And so if I wanted my money, I had to ask secretary. Mm-hmm. And so already like that secretary has like some form of power over me.
Yeah.
And that's when it kind of got weird, because when you guys were there, it didn't feel like there was like a power structure as much in like the offices. Mm-hmm. Like there was Mary who was like the shit, but she wasn't like a bully and she didn't. And so like immediately when, in my opinion, when Crystal came in, there started to be like tribes. And so there were people who were like on Crystal's team. And so there was that. And if I wanted to, I don't remember asking anybody except for the butlers, like, hey, is there a seat open at the movie when we would go to the movie nights? But like, and I don't know, I'm like a really, I try to be more polite. Like I almost try to be overly polite because like I come from a Southern family, and like manners is really important. So like a part of it could have been that, but like, I remember being like kind of scared to ask people for permission for things. Like I would text Crystal saying, hey, is it okay if I sit on the couch for the movie night? Or, hey, is it okay? I would ask these questions, but I'm like a pretty polite person. So maybe that's what it was. And it wasn't even like, I wouldn't say that that was Crystal doing that because like the system was already put in place for that. Like you guys know kind of what it was like. But like, I remember reading in Crystal's book, like she felt invisible and she felt like she didn't matter. And she felt like nobody cared about her opinion. And then she noticed that like when she was around my father, people treated her differently. Mm-hmm. And they started to like listen and they started to maybe be scared of her a little bit. And I think that feeling of like, I matter is addicting. And I think she was like, she basically liked climbing that, being in that position where, you know, you had to go through her or you had to ask her for things. Like she controlled the, I don't know this, but I read it in a book and I've heard it from other people. So I don't know for certain, but she liked controlling the guest list. She liked taking girls off and on the guest list, depending on how she, whatever the whims were at the time. And so like the idea of control and power, I think for her, maybe growing up in a situation where she didn't feel very much like that. And I think she
did that. It's interesting too, because we've been going through the book and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And it's interesting how much she talks about power and learning how to gain power mm-hmm. and where to stand and how close to power you can get. And she brings it up quite a bit. And we're saying, even though she says in her book that she feels kind of, she doesn't come right out and say victim, but she says a lot of victim-y type things. But yet at the same time, she's also saying how she's gaining power mm-hmm. and looking for this power. And we're talking about how it's very interesting. It's almost like her tell is in there, mm-hmm. but she's trying to cover it up with other
things.
That's
what I, so we're just going into it, I think. I really like UFC fighting. So this is like my verbal UFC fight. I feel like, it's so fascinating what you just said, because one, I felt like a fool. Like I was talking to you guys and I was like, I think let me iterate our coffees here.
Okay. Keep going. Cause it was fascinating what you were just saying.
Okay. So I felt like a fool because I remember texting you guys, and text is always like more blunt than I think it actually is. But I was like, I think this might be a master manipulator. Do you remember this moment? And you said, take out the word master. Yeah. And I was like, God, don't be so harsh, Bridget. But like I had gone on her podcast and this is someone I really like. Like this is someone who I trusted and I like that she's nice to me. And also like the book reads like that. Like the book reads like I was empathizing with this narrator going through an awful, you know, the writer was good. The writer did a good job. And what you're saying is so important, which is like there's stuff you have to look underneath it, because what you're getting is like the actions are not matching what is being said. Like right. This is kind of what's happening where it's, you know, she's doing this social justice woke thing and she's not after the money, she's not after the fame. But then, you know, in my opinion, I could be wrong, but I think her Instagram followers are fake. I think she purchased them.
Yeah, a lot of people think that. They pointed out there's a lot of bots.
It's pretty easy to see, in my opinion. So if you're not interested in fame, why are you buying Instagram followers?
Yeah.
If you're not after money, then why was she hustling as Crystal DJ Hefner? And she said that she was building a real estate empire, but she was building it, one, as a Hefner. So she did need to be there in order to build it, in my opinion.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
And then, like, there was a home that my father purchased for her for, I'm not going to say the amount, but it was a big home in Los Angeles. And I heard, I do not know, but I heard that it was far beyond his budget. Like, it was not wise. Mm-hmm. And I heard that his financial advisors were like, don't purchase this, dude. Like, mm-hmm. you can't afford this. And my dad never cared about that sentence, I don't think.
Yeah.
Wise with money. You know, I loved that guy because he really helped me out too financially. But they were saying, don't buy this home. And he said, I love this person and I'm going to. And so to be as like, this is my own subjective feelings, is like, why would you ask your husband, who is in debt, to purchase you a mansion that he can't really afford if you don't need the money?
Yeah.
Well, why was that home purchased? Because they were still living at the mansion. Was it purchased so that she could live there after he was gone?
Yes.
So it was never meant for them to leave the mansion together. He was always going to stay at the mansion, right?
I think it was literally what you just said. I think it was that it was for when he passed, mm-hmm. she would have a place to live in. But if she has this empire in the background, then why do you need a, I mean, you have, she claims that she has all these real estate places, then wouldn't you be, I don't know. Maybe it was just a nice thing to make sure that she was safe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you met Crystal?
No, I don't. I don't remember that.
Do you remember like around the first time you met her? Did you think she was going to be anybody special in your dad's life? Or was it more like, oh, another girlfriend?
It was kind of like that, I think. Like, it felt kind of like you'd matter more. And so at first, I think maybe she was just a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And then slowly it became clear, like, this was the person that he really wanted to be with. Like, that was it.
But it was a slow integration. It didn't seem like it was just like all of a sudden he just met the love of his life out of nowhere. It kind of built into that.
It felt like a pretty quick build, but there was a build. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, because I feel like there was somebody else there who was like, quote unquote, number one before, like while she was still there. But then.
Interesting, because that's not how she paints the picture at all, I feel.
It's my memory is very fuzzy on this, though.
It's not how she paints the picture, but it jives with what I've heard other people say, that there was somebody else that he would have rather have been the number one.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that, too. Somebody who was more like physically his type. Kind of.
Wasn't there Cheryl? Was that her name?
Cheryl was there during the Runaway Bride era.
Okay.
Yeah, so she comes a little later.
Yeah.
What about playing Uno and other activities like that with your dad and Crystal? Did you ever do those kinds of things?
I did. Yeah. So Uno was very fun way to like be with my dad, play Mexican train. He was pretty happy-go-lucky. It was nice. But then towards the end of Uno and this is like where, okay, if you're the audience, you're going to be like, say something nice, or you're going to think this is like too depressing or something, but I just got to like be real with how I felt at the time, which was that I remember from my memory, which this is a long time ago, Crystal's mom was there and she was drinking wine. She drank wine a lot. Crystal's best friend was there. And then it was Crystal and maybe somebody else. And it was like really dark energy. Mm. Like, I just remember going to Uno that night, or that night, and I said, I never want to, you know, you just go into a room and you can feel like if this is a fun place. And it didn't feel fun. Felt like kind of like cackling crows, like being nasty. And I just never went back after that night. But before that night, I had a good time with, because the Playmates would stay there at the house, would go there. And Keith, I think, would go there. And Keith was my uncle, my dad's brother, and he hated it. But his wife really liked it. And so he would go reluctantly, which was comical. And we all took it like pretty seriously, the dominoes, and it was all nonsense and fun. That's what I really liked about my dad, is like he always had fun with like nonsense. Like dominoes was a great joy to him. Just movie nights, like the simple. It's like he built everything in order to enjoy those things. It's kind of how it felt.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that about game night, because we just interviewed a Playmate of the Year who said the same thing. Like,
yeah,
after we
left. Glad.
Yeah, she went up to play Uno with, it was like half the twins, Crystal, and a couple other Playmates. She said she doesn't remember who. And she just said it was such a negative experience. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm paraphrasing her right now, but she said that the girls were really disrespectful and it just didn't feel positive, and she didn't want to be there and she felt yucky.
That's exactly was my experience too. Yeah. What do you guys think about? Because kind of the main reason why I wanted to come on here was to talk about like how like Crystal will say something, but then her actions are different. Like, have you guys heard anything about, you know, like what do you think about when you hear her say like, I'm not after money and fame?
I don't even know how to answer that succinctly, because I have a lot of things that, as far as the audience is concerned, is hearsay, but it's from people I trust very much who were close to Crystal at the time. And they have all kinds of stories about like Crystal, the reason she did the whole runaway bride thing. Like she says in her book, it was because she didn't feel like she was fairly compensated for the runaway bride special. But what I heard years ago was it was because she was unhappy with the prenup, because your dad wanted to give her $2 million in his will. And she said, that's not enough. That's not enough to buy a house. I'm being taken advantage of. And they got in a huge fight over it. And he said, I didn't know I was marrying a gold digger. This is all hearsay. But, and she like freaked out. And then the runaway bride thing happened. That's what I heard. I also heard she was like asking for like $5,000 a week in allowance while she was there, which is like, fine, if that's what you want to ask for. And that's what he agrees to. Right. But like, clearly that's where she's getting the money to like invest in all her real estate investments. But she's trying to act like she never got a penny from him.
And then she's just
this magical girl boss who's making $7,000 a day DJing. And she just magically turned that into a real estate empire. Well, like I studied real estate investment at UCLA when I was there. Like I was on like the regular allowance everybody else was on. I know what's doable. And you don't leave there with 8 properties in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's
kind of my
like,
point too, where it's like,
be real.
Be real. Yeah. You have, if you're making money off of this situation, I love that. Good for you. Like, be transparent about it. There's nothing to be ashamed about, like building an empire from my father who's like helping you out, and you build it yourself, which is like what you girls did too, by the way. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't say that like you're such a boss bitch and doing all these things on the side, but like really all the money is coming because I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I feel like if she was like, okay, I'm getting married to a guy who's going to pass away, I'm spending my 20s here and I'm not building a traditional career. Like, if she feels like that's what she needs in compensation or to take care of herself, fine. But like, why are you acting like you didn't get a penny? You know,
it
stumps me. And like, this is all kind of like hearsay stuff. Like, I wasn't there seeing like what she was given in the end. But I think we all know that it's bullshit.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to talk about what she was given in the end from my, you know, I need to protect myself. So this is my opinion. And it really is not just about protecting it. It's like, this is very like hypothetical. Like, I'm just trying to figure it out in my head, like hunches and things, which could be completely wrong. But like, she got we all got an inheritance, like me and other family members, and she got an inheritance. And like, if she
that's ghosty.
Yeah.
If she doesn't want money, then there was like a point in time. Did you guys know that he was like really sick, like towards the last 2 years of his life? Remember, I kind of told you that. Mm-hmm. Got that. So he was like really sick. And that's why she got all these NDA things. According to her, she didn't want people to see him like not able to walk, mm-hmm. not able to talk. I mean, we're talking about, in my opinion, for 2 years, I would play backgammon with him every Sunday, and he didn't know what moves to make. This is a game that he's been playing his whole life, and he didn't know where he was, and he didn't know what fucking moves to put on the fucking pieces. And so, like, an hour would pass, and he would become more coherent. And I'd be like, oh, dad's here. That's nice. Mm-hmm. And then I could have a conversation with him and talk to him. And then he would probably experience pain because he had like really bad back pain because he'd never worked out. And like me, he doesn't have good posture. So they dose him with fucking medication, which who's wrong or right? All I know is like with Michael Jackson, with people can't say no to these people. Mm-hmm. So they didn't say no. So they fucking doped him up whenever he wanted to get doped up. And he wasn't here. He was so doped up that he didn't know what was going on. The very last thing I ever said to him was, he said, I don't know where I am. And I said, Dad, that's not good. And he looks at me and goes, I didn't fucking say it was good. I was like, okay, Dad, I love you too. Bye. And then they wheel him off, which, but my point is like I brought it up to some people, and by the way, they didn't agree. So this is like very much maybe my opinion. And it's not that they didn't agree. It's that I don't think anybody wanted to say he's not here anymore.
Yeah.
Because he, yeah. So the year that he passed away, he changed the will and he gave me, another person, and Crystal more money. And I don't know how much more. I don't remember if Crystal got more than us or whatever. But I do know, maybe I don't, but there are these hierarchies in the will. And I think maybe it's built in, but like the wife will get the money first. And then there will be, and it goes down like that. And so the first person who got the money, in my opinion, if I remember it, was Crystal. And I was looking at that when I was getting the inheritance, and I was like, why, when he wasn't here, when he didn't know what the fuck was up or down half of the time, why would he change his will?
I mean, that's very creepy.
I didn't even think you were allowed to change it if you weren't in your right mind.
Legally, like, he was. And that's why I sent an email saying, I don't think he's competent anymore.
Yeah.
Guys, can we like agree on this?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really wanted to address what I perceived as the elephant in the room. And then more than that, it's like, why is it when somebody can't play his favorite thing and doesn't know where he is, why is he changing his fucking will? Why are people allowing that to happen?
Yeah.
It was so bizarre.
Yeah, that's really creepy. It's very suspect.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
It's like bad writing. It's like if you wrote that as fiction, somebody would go like, stupid. Like, you know what I mean? It's like
people will be like, everybody knows you can't do that, but it did.
Yeah. Or that's too cliche.
It doesn't feel right, too. No. Like if you're protecting your husband, and this is just my opinion. I know I have to keep saying that, guys, but maybe understand why I'm saying that. If you're trying to protect your husband, would you let him like dramatically change like his finances, like when he's not?
Well, I guess if it's going to benefit the person who's, yeah, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh, you want to give me 50% more? Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Sign that. Make those changes. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's just very strange to me because the person I knew wouldn't have picked Crystal to be the president of his foundation.
I have something to say about that as well, which was I'm like processing all this in a very maybe naive way because I was on her podcast and we had a really nice time. And so I'm like, I have questions that I would like answered.
Mm-hmm.
So I call her and I said, why are you the president of the HMH Foundation when you didn't have a pleasant experience at the HMH house? It's like pretty clear that like you maybe shouldn't be continuing my father's legacy at the HMH Foundation when you don't like agree with like how you were treated by him or maybe his values. Because I don't think, from my opinion, she doesn't agree with his values. Like she's going against nudity, going against like she's taken down her nude photos. She's saying that was like a mistake. And she's told Heidi Montag that it was good that she didn't pose nude. So it's like, so you have someone who believes that nudity is not good running the HMH Foundation. This is my opinion. That sounds crazy to me. So I asked her, it's like, why are you doing this? She said, you know what? She made a very interesting play, which was, so she said, you know what? That's a good point, Marston. Maybe you should be the president of the HMH Foundation. It's like, well, that's not what I asked.
Are you interested in doing that? Is your brother interested in doing that?
Yeah, sure. I would do that. But I was like, so immediately she's giving me favors and she's saying, you know, this power that I have, I could give you some of this because the questions that you're asking, I don't like, but like, if you're friends with me, I'll do these things. And it was very much, in my opinion, a manipulative move where she didn't answer why did she keep the last name. I mean, obviously it's like benefiting her to keep the last name. We all know it. The last name's powerful. It's why, one of the reasons why I'm here. One of the reasons why I'm successful on social media and OnlyFans. Okay. So we keep the last name for that reason. Clear. She's not honest about that. She's saying she's going to change it or whatever. But it's very obvious. That's why she kept it. So, and then the HMH Foundation is like, it looks good to be the president of the HMH Foundation. And maybe it gives her kudos or something. But
I have another theory.
Yeah.
When I saw your dad's will, which was in 2008, and granted, this was years and years before he passed, so things might have changed. But when I saw it after estate taxes from what was left, half of the money went to the foundation. I mean, maybe I'm being cynical, but that's just where my mind went.
Well, for me, it bothers me that she had people sign NDAs, but yet she is president of this foundation, which is, you know, all about being able to freedom of speech.
Yeah.
But has everybody signed NDAs?
That's what's bizarre is that she's clearly like not, in my opinion, she's clearly not for the values that my father represented, yet she's running his legacy from now on. And then she's also making the book. There's such a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty apparent.
100%. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It's really weird. Another thing interesting in her book, too, that Bridget and I were talking about in the review that we were doing is she talks about how allegedly your dad said that he wanted her to be to the head of his foundation and be in charge of his legacy. But in the book, she never talks about what the foundation stands for, how she feels about potentially running it. Does she feel up to the task? Does she think it's weird that he asked her and not one of his kids? Like, she never talks about any of that stuff. And that's kind of poor for the reader experience, you know, yeah, as far as reading the book. But I also find it maybe a little telling, mm-hmm, that she doesn't even care, understand what the foundation's about, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, the foundation is furthering my father's legacy. She's written a book that pretty much destroys my father. Maybe not. I mean, she also she makes it pretty clear, in my opinion, that she's not for the legacy that he left. So, like, what's the deal? Why be a part of this unless it's clout?
Yeah.
Right? Or money.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just doesn't. It's really like, that's one of the reasons why I came on here. It's like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And we all kind of know, like, we know it.
Were you surprised to learn that your dad got engaged to Crystal?
No, it was very much, I was talking.
The writing was on the wall.
Yeah, the writing was on the wall. I was talking to you about this. Like, he would have Crystal sit next to him when they would do the movies, and they would like listen to, like, whenever a romantic moment would happen in a movie, he would turn to Crystal and say like whatever the most romantic thing line was. And then I got like, oh, that's really sweet. So I would do it to my girlfriend too. And I still do that to Anna sometimes. So it was so clear that he was like crazy about her. Yeah. And then he would also say that he wasn't going to make, you know, what he said about you. He's like, he wasn't going to make the same mistake that he made with Holly. Yeah. So he wasn't going to.
He said that?
Yeah. He would say that.
I just, I know we were talking about this earlier today, but Crystal writes in her book that he would watch, you know, the love story, specifically Casablanca, she's talking about. And at the end, he would be all teary eyed. And it really bothered me how she interpreted that, because she would say like, oh, he was all teary eyed at the end. And then he would look at me like, do something about it. And I was talking to you earlier about it because I don't feel like that's what it was. I feel like he just had that really romantic side to him, and it was very sentimental for him to hear those lines and for that movie to be over. Yeah. And he didn't mind that people saw a tear in his eye over it. And I don't think that he was looking to her to fix it or to make it better. He just wanted her to know that it touched him, that movie.
And see how other people are reacting too. That's more how I took that kind of thing. Like, oh, do you like this too? Or, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was, that's kind of what we were talking about with, it's bizarre to see where her, like, how she views the world, basically, sometimes in the book, where when my father would get emotional, like, I get emotional, too, and I watch romantic movies, and it's, like, a show of vulnerability, a sweet moment, a tender moment, and, like, she looked at him while he was crying and said, like, why, and she didn't say it, but she was thinking it in the book, why, what do you want me to do about this? Why do you want me to fix you? Like, kind of like almost violent towards somebody who is pretty much looking at her saying like, I really love you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a really important moment for me. I know that feeling too, that my dad experienced there. And it's like, just, I think for the reader, it would read bizarre to see, to for Crystal to think that way in that situation. And then another thing was, she labeled the peacocks as like dying, and which is funny, but like, we would, I mean, I'm next door to you guys, and whenever I heard the peacocks, I was like, so blessed. Like, these are exotic birds, like crying out, and they're in our backyard, and it's amazing. It's so cool. And it just, I think it does, like, those moments peel back, I think, really what Crystal experiences, in my opinion, how Crystal experiences life, which is like sad and angry and like really negative. It's like, I kind of feel bad for somebody who goes through life in that lens. Like, you're at the Playboy Mansion, you're overwhelmed, and I don't know, maybe I do empathize a little bit, because like, something that I listened to you guys was like, it all happens so fast and it feels out of control, and you don't know, like, yeah, I don't know. It is a bizarre way to react to someone who's crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. And not to say that her feelings weren't valid if she interpreted something that way. And I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who think peacocks are loud and annoying. But I think it's also like a tell of maybe like being there for the wrong reasons, or just kind of like a unfortunately bad fit. Because like, I can speak for the three of us and be like, we're huge animal lovers. And the fact that like, we're surrounded by these exotic birds is like amazing.
Yeah.
And it's
something that I keep hearing in my head is the crocodile tears moment in your book, when I thought it was depicted really well, how it was like Survivor Island and girls were being played against each other. And I'm not saying that was, you know, I'm just open to that being the truth. But like, there's a difference between like a manipulative crying. And I know that my father, after Casablanca, it was like a genuine moment.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop, because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more. Your favorite stores like Lenovo and Wine.com pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members, and that could be you. Cashback is deposited directly into your PayPal account, Or, if you prefer, Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cash back on top of other deals, like store sales and coupons. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? Membership is free and it's easy to sign up. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cashback really adds up.
That and the fake crying were two totally different
things. Yeah, they were totally different things. We've experienced both, yeah. and they're two totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing, too, about her book is I would read stuff and I'd be like, is this even real or is this just her trying to recreate moments that have come from the podcast or from my book or from Kendra's book that she thought were like clickbait worthy? Mm-hmm. I have a suspicion, like I don't know that, of course, but I have a suspicion that that could be part of it, too.
Yeah. And I also want to say that, like, for people who read that book and like just thought that it was true, like it's just patently obvious, like if you read it, it's patently obvious that it's trying to be like a Stephen King thriller. Like it's not interested in being like, this is my account of the mansion, but like it sets a pace that's really quick and she's running and she's going and everything has to be like, it's basically trying to grab the reader's attention from the get-go as like a narrative. And it's like anybody who's reading that book can see that it's not like a tell-all. It's like reading like Gone Girl or it's reading like a story.
No, I agree. I feel like there's a lot of devices in it. And a lot of people on our Patreon were pointing out that the opening page sounds like Rebecca. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the opening page is a great example.
Yeah. And then the scene where she supposedly is literally blocked from leaving the mansion, where supposedly all these security guards magically come out the back gate. When am I crazy or do I only remember like one security guard ever being back at that back gate? Maybe two.
Maybe two.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, supposedly they blocked her. And then she supposedly hears your dad's voice from the loudspeaker, which is, I'm like, where were the loudspeakers at the mansion?
Yeah.
Saying you can't leave. It's just...
Yeah, things like that don't make sense.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of.
It's almost
passages.
Like boring to talk about because it's so stupid.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of people out there who just pick up the book and take it at complete face value.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is why we want to show all the inconsistencies because they're just not true. Mm-hmm. And the average person does not know that that's not true.
Right.
And they think, gosh, they went through that. This was a girl was trying to leave the property and security would prevent them. No, that did not happen.
No.
Not for us.
Not for me
either. I can't say it didn't happen to her, but, you know.
Yeah. It's true. People think it's real, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
It's wild.
Especially because her book is coming out at a time in pop culture where the type of thing she's trying to say is accepted. Like, I feel like when my book came out, it was not accepted and it got a lot of backlash. But her book comes out, it's accepted, and that's what's okay now. Granted, the wheels might change. They always do. But it's just like everybody kind of picks it up and accepts it, and the reviews are good. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. And also, you guys left. You didn't stay. If it was awful for you to be there, like you said, I can build something afterwards, and you have. I mean, I don't know, maybe she just felt like she couldn't leave.
I mean, it is hard because everything is taken care of and you do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
LA is so expensive and you do know that life is going to be so different when you leave there and stuff. So it is hard, but it's not impossible. But we did leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not impossible, but it is hard. So I get that part. Like, I get that. Like,
empire.
Struggle. I know, right? I know.
Why stay? Maybe more empire building?
Well, I guess once you get a little bit, maybe you'll get some more. I don't know.
I'd like an empire. Can we go back?
I know.
Can I marry my dad?
Yeah.
I'd like an empire building situation.
Do you remember filming the Lifetime TV special about the wedding that turned out to be about Runaway Bride?
Was I in that?
Yeah, no, you were in it. I actually went back to watch it because I knew this interview was coming up and I wanted to ask you about it. But I'm so glad I did because the way Crystal describes her ditching out before the wedding in the book, is very different from how she herself describes it in the Runaway Bride special. And they have security footage from the mansion grounds that they play alongside her narration to match it up. So it's not like they're asking her to say certain things or Frank inviting or editing it. They're showing this, which directly contradicts her book. So I'm just so glad I watched it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a scene of like you and Claire playing games with them. There was a scene of you and your brother getting fitted for suits out in the game house.
I think that's what it was. It was like just normal life.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe for her, she was really overwhelmed. And it's all internal. And what's bizarre is that she like creates people who like stop her. But mm-hmm. from my experience, it was her not, she was terrified. But there wasn't anybody stopping her from leaving or anything. It was like a prison inside her head.
Yeah, because you guys all went on a trip to London together for the Playboy Club opening right before the wedding, right?
Yeah, and she like ran away. Like as far as I remember, she was like in an elevator and we were supposed to go to the club and she like just bolted.
Oh.
Or maybe, I don't know. I just remember her like saying over and over again, I can't do this, I can't go, can't do this.
Was she saying that to your dad or just to you?
She was saying it to all of us. She was whispering it.
Well, your dad said in the Runaway Bride
special.
She was
like over her head. She was like 23 years old and I don't know what was going on. Really.
She just kept whispering it to everybody?
Yeah. Yeah, she's in the elevator. We were about to go out into like public and you like paparazzi. And she was like, I can't. She just wanted out. It was too much.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I can only speculate on what she must have been feeling. But your dad in the special says that she came to him before the wedding and says, I'm having second thoughts. I don't know about doing this. And he was like, well, that's fine with me. Like, because he was saying, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was saying like getting married was more to provide security for her. It wasn't like he didn't care. He just cared about like the relationship. So it's like she made that clear. And I understand, you know, you're in your 20s, you're in this big situation. There's a TV show that a lot of money's being spent. There's a lot of pressure. So I understand there's a lot of pressure, but it's just an interesting choice to just kind of like run off and you have to make this plan because you have to get both of your cars off the property. And, you know, it's that thought out and she's completely dating another guy on the side. So like you have a boyfriend outside the gates.
Yeah.
Why is it that hard to call it off? Like, was her mom pressuring her to stay?
That's what I wonder. She has the empire already built. I would assume it's in her name and she has the boyfriend. Like, so fame.
Yeah. I don't know.
Right.
I guess
Crystal
so,
Hefner.
Yeah. Or maybe like her mom's expectation of her, or maybe she was like, oh, I have to get married to like secure the bag. But then she didn't. She ran off. It's weird. And like, I understand, you know, for a young woman, it's an intimidating situation to break off. So I don't want to make it sound like so easy to cancel it.
Yeah.
But she had enough balls to talk to him about it and say, I'm having second thoughts. And he was like, okay, well, we don't have to do it, supposedly.
Yeah.
It's all the wrong reasons for sure.
Yeah.
If you were there for him, she would have been down. But she was freaking out.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, also, it goes back to what you were saying at the beginning. If it had something to do with the prenup and not feeling like she's, you know, getting enough, then she pulls out at the last minute because he wouldn't change that.
Yeah, that's the rumor I heard, which I feel like that is a pretty clear-cut explanation.
Yeah.
But we'll never know. So when Crystal did take off, do you remember how you heard about the wedding being called off and what you thought about it?
I don't remember. I just remember Runaway Bride and my dad like marketed it. He turned it into like a funny thing, like with the Playboy
cover. Yeah, with the magazine she's on. Yeah.
When life gives you lemons.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was pretty good at rolling with the punches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you go to the actual wedding when it happened? Did you have a role in it?
Yeah. I think I went to that.
Yeah.
It was nice. It's nice. I don't know. No comment, really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There was hardly anybody there, though, right? It was very small. New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
There was like, I want to say, didn't somebody say there was like 10 people there, which I find hard to believe.
No,
but
in her book, she says no friends, but Ashley was there.
I know.
So I guess she forgets about Ashley.
Yeah.
Poor Ashley.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were. It was small, but there were more than 10 people. It's like the Great Hall in the Great Hall, and the Great Hall was full of people.
Yeah.
Did you notice after your dad got married again that the guest list at the mansion started to shrink?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember hearing stories of NDAs and just guest lists. It was like from what I heard, is that Crystal just really liked taking people off the guest list for like no real reason. And so you knew like to be a little scared sometimes and to not get on her bad side. This wasn't really me. I don't think I was as worried about getting off the guest list, because I wasn't even on the guest list. I would just show up. Mm-hmm. But there were people getting pulled off. It was crazy. People who would be up there for like 10 years, 15 years, and girls, and maybe she'd get jealous of the girls. And I don't know. That book was really good that Mallory Mackey wrote, I think.
To go over that on the Patreon too.
I think you should go over that book.
Yeah.
I thought it was really well done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that in that book, it talks about, which was obviously I wasn't there, but the book talks about just like this inner circle of friends constantly coming in and out, and a hierarchy of friends, and then people getting on the list, taken off the list. And it sounds so stressful, man. I'm just glad that I didn't have to deal with any of that.
Yeah. And when did you start hearing, do you remember when you started hearing about like when people were being asked to sign NDAs?
Yeah. I don't remember the dates, but I just remember people were doing that.
And I know Crystal's spoken publicly.
She told me, as far as my memory serves, she told me that it was because she didn't want people to see my father in that state.
I think that seems like a valid reason. Do you believe that's the reason, or do you think it's part of the reason?
I find it such a bizarre reason. Like, why to not talk about someone getting old and dying? And that it just seems like a control and power move to me. Like, I just couldn't imagine having my family and my friends sign an NDA because my wife has Alzheimer's or whatever he had. It's so bizarre.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
In my belief, I feel your dad would have been against asking casual friends to sign NDAs. Like, employees who worked at the house had to sign NDAs. Like, I feel like that's reasonable. You don't want a stranger coming to your house digging through your medicine cabinet or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that was against his free speech principles.
Me too.
I don't think he would have had wanted people to sign NDAs.
Well, and not only that, but I have heard stories from the butlers where he didn't know why the guest list was why everybody wasn't coming. And he was sad, and he would look out the window and be like, where is everybody? Don't they know they're missing a really good movie tonight? Why don't they want to be here?
Yeah.
And not realizing it's because they weren't allowed to come up.
I could see that.
I'm one of them.
Aware of it. I think it's because he wasn't, as far as I know, he wasn't in charge of the guest list. And so, yeah.
I mean, ultimately, at least when we were there, he was. He didn't do it on a day-to-day basis. It was somebody else's job, mm-hmm. but he had the final say.
Yeah,
for it sure.
I think it, in my opinion, that changed to Crystal, like completely in charge of the guest list.
Right.
Yeah.
I think so too.
So when Crystal first announced that her book was coming out, what did you think of that? Were you excited to read it? Did you think it would be truthful?
I was so excited to read it. I think we all had the same reaction, which was like, this is going to be so juicy. Yeah. Like, give me the tea. And I was like going to dig in. I was going to like, I didn't know about this. Holy are you kidding me? And we were going to like talk about it and be like, what the hell? And then I read it and I was like, there's nothing even here. It's just like so boring. And then also I kind of related to her in a certain way, like I was empathizing with her. And then, but there was nothing, there's no tea, like there was no behind the scenes reveal. It read like Gone Girl. I just didn't even know what to do with it because it was like fiction and people don't know that it's fiction. So if you're reading that thinking it's nonfiction, like I'm telling you right now, you're reading a book of fiction thinking it's real, and that's what's happening, in my opinion, because it was like I was disappointed because I wanted like more behind the scenes interesting stuff, and it was just a thriller. I don't know.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I was curious too, because I would just hear people over the years, like Kevin Burns talking about like, oh, they sold the company and he's not really happy with how it went. And just little things like that that I didn't know about. And I thought, oh, she's going to spill what happened with the company. She's going to talk about this. She's going to talk about that. And it's nothing. There's just nothing. I don't know.
Yeah, she heard so much. She has so much information and she turned it into like a girl who's being... That's what's so bizarre to me, is that she has these choices. Like, she has so much privy information that we would love to hear about and that is interesting. And what did she learn from these experiences? And she's just chosen to take this very black and white, I was a prisoner approach to this fascinating life that she's lived. And I don't know. I guess I just disagree with that. But yeah,
it kind of bothers me, too, because I feel like obviously in the relationship, you know, your dad being so wealthy and everything and dating younger women who don't have those means, there's like a power imbalance.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, based on what I've heard, I feel like the power imbalance flopped because your dad wasn't operating on his faculties. He didn't have Mary there anymore. And I don't think it's fair to go around talking about how, you know, you were so abused in the power imbalance when the power imbalance flipped, like at least halfway through the situation.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. She had a lot of people on her team at the mansion, including the assistant and the nurse. She had control in and this is all my opinion. She had control of the guest list. She had an empire on her own that was hers. And then my father, in my opinion, wasn't coherent. He didn't know what was going on. So it's just so bizarre, the narrative that's coming out then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, given how I perceive it, you're trapped from a man who didn't know like how to, and who couldn't even walk back to his room. It's just so stupid. It's just so stupid.
Yeah.
But people, if people believe it, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how many people really believe it, but if people do believe it, maybe this will help the conversation.
Yeah, people can make up their own minds, but that's why I like going into it and talking about, you know, what we experienced and what we find different about the book. And, you know, I imagine more people probably talk in the future, and I think people can just listen to all of it and make up their own minds.
Right.
Yeah. And then it's like kind of how I view you two is that, okay, there was this toxic situation. You were so young, Holly, and you're making sense of this fucking crazy world. It's a crazy fucking world that you found yourself in after working at Hooters.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you're getting money, getting fame, getting all these things. And then you are slowly kind of trying to find out who you are. And you're like, I don't want this anymore. And you could have waited him out. Both of you could have waited for the inheritance, and you could have waited for the money, and you both could have stayed, but you didn't. And, you know, if Crystal, from what I've heard, is saying she was there for a decade, I don't know, like, why, if you didn't need the money, if you didn't need the fame, I mean, then why would you stay in an abusive relationship where, what is it, because there were 10 security guards who didn't exist who were keeping you from leaving those gates? I guess these are just interesting questions to me. It's like, I don't know. What this to me, my very personal opinion, it feels like a master manipulator. And Bridget, you can feel free to take that first part out.
A manipulator.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like it's gone on as long as it has because people are just afraid to talk about it. Like, I know there's so many people who've had experiences with her and they're either afraid to talk about their experience because they're afraid she's going to go after them legally, or, you know, they're just so used to only saying certain things about your dad or certain things about the Playboy world. So they don't even want to talk about unpleasantries if it has to do with somebody else, you know? And I just think nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Except us.
Except us.
Well, I'm curious. One of the things she says in the book is that the mansion was leaking, and she's talking about it as if it happened right after we left, like leaking from rain and stuff. And I don't remember a single leak in the mansion.
Yeah, I wish I had the book here so I could quote it exactly, but she makes it sound like the mansion was leaking all throughout the mansion. There were all these unrepaired leaks, and her point in talking about that is getting to the story of mold and how it supposedly affected her health. And I And she says it was right after she moved in, which would have been right after we left. And I'm like, I never saw a leak there at all, which of course, could a leak have sprung after I left? Absolutely. But I find it bizarre that all of a sudden there's all these leaks.
Yeah.
Right after we left.
I went there every week and I never saw a single leak.
Yeah. So
I think she maybe likes just it's leaking everywhere. Maybe there was one leak. I don't know.
A lot of hyperbole.
Hyperbole. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to ask you about the mold. Was there really mold found at the mansion?
Yeah, there was. And there was a fellow, Steve. Was that his name? Steve. Mm-hmm. He was the scrapbook guy and he was really sweet. And he had a golden tooth and we called him Captain Jack Sparrow.
That's cute. I can see that.
Yeah, he was really nice. And I worked up there for my first job at Playboy. It was my internship. And I would always sleep and he would be like, I don't mind that you're taking a siesta. And he would be sleeping too. We would both be sleeping up there taking siestas. And he'd like fall asleep in his chair as if he was working. It's like crazy. And then we talk a lot at the coffee maker. But he was right up there, like in the attic, like right next to the mold. And it doesn't surprise me that nobody checked because people just didn't really check that stuff at the mansion.
Did your dad ever talk to you about like plans after he passed, whether it was his funeral or where he wanted to be buried or anything?
Marilyn Monroe, for sure. You knew that. He wanted to be buried next to Marilyn Monroe 24/7. He said that.
Did he ever mention anything else, like whether or not he wanted to be like cremated or not?
I have a story, though, because I have heard that Crystal controlled the guest list for the funeral. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true, but whoever was in charge of the guest list for my father's funeral, shame on you. Because there were people there who I've never seen in my entire life.
Stop. And when you say funeral, you mean the memorial.
The memorial.
Yeah.
The memorial. There are people there who I've never seen my entire life. And there were people filming us as if we were, you know, people to for entertainment. There are people filming us on their iPhones.
Ew, stop. And, no.
And just like documenting our grief.
That's disgusting.
It was fucking wild. Also really important for me because I knew I have no control over this. So this is crazy, but that's the way it is. But it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that.
Well, I've been very verbal about not being invited and being upset about that. But I also have talked to so many people about it. And every single person I've talked to agrees how it went down is not what he would have wanted.
I always wonder that because he always surrounded himself around people that were not the most, they didn't have his best interest and they weren't there always. Like some of the guests were there because they liked being close to power. So I always felt like maybe, I mean, this is the life that he made for himself and this is what the funeral is. And it's definitely not what I wanted. I know that. Mm-hmm. It's not what I would have wanted. I don't think it's what you guys would have wanted. It would have looked different if we were in charge of that stuff. Yeah. But those were the people that he surrounded himself with.
Yeah.
So this is just us speculating, but why do we think it's so important for Crystal to like go out publicly and make it sound like she didn't get a dime from your dad?
That's what I'm wondering. Why? It's so bizarre because it would be easy to say, thanks, Hugh Hefner, for helping me build this like amazing life that I have.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I understand the urge to want to get away from like the gold digger stereotype and be like, no, I did this on my own. I did that on my own. Like, I understand that. But I feel like also she was married to him and there's nothing wrong with saying, oh, I got this and I got that, big deal.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think maybe.
But she really wants to make it sound like she didn't get like a penny except for that house. And she always says they bought the house together. And I'm just like, it's extreme.
Inferring she paid for part of it.
I think maybe she wants people to think that. I don't know.
Interesting.
I mean, maybe it's just her being extreme all of the time. Like, she has to be the youngest. She has to be the this. She has to be there for the longest.
Yeah, and she has to have made it on her own. She had to have, it wouldn't be awesome, Crystal, if she had help. So she did it, maybe.
Well, in my opinion, too, I feel like in her book, she likes to play the victim card a lot. So I feel like it's another way of playing the victim. I went through all of this hell and I got nothing out of it.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. It's like it doesn't make sense if he's doing nice things, right? If he's giving her all this money, if she's doing all these favors and then the victim doesn't really make sense.
Right. But then at the same time, she's got all these 8 houses and a Bentley and
to me, it makes more things. Sense if she was getting all these things because like you could be in a really shitty situation and you're getting $10 million every year, say. Like I'm just making up a number, but it makes sense. It makes more sense to me if like, man, my husband is this autistic nut job who like is kind of nasty in these ways and he doesn't treat me right, but I get this $10 million mansion at the end of the day and it's really hard to leave. Like that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I could see myself putting myself in strange situations if I'm getting these like benefits and but there's all this bad stuff. So yeah, I don't know. That I feel like that's maybe what was happening. I don't know.
Yeah. It's strange.
It's just strange. Why not be honest with what, you know? Like why not just honestly say so then we can all kind of process it.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it going, whatever she's saying, I don't believe.
I think the conclusion I'm coming to personally is she's just the biggest one-upper. Everything has to be the biggest, the worst, the best, the most extreme, the this, the that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, black and white too. I think it needs to be black and white.
I feel like there's very little that was black and white about living at the mansion.
Yeah.
I feel like people looking in can see black and white, but inside it's
not. Everything's like a slippery slope, shades of gray type of thingy.
Yeah.
Well, that was all my questions.
Yeah, I don't have anything else for now. We covered so much.
I know, we did.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. And
yeah, thanks for coming.
I fucking love doing this with you guys, so.
Me too.
Yeah, we love having you.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll have a lot of other occasions to talk about all kinds of other stuff.
So yeah, hell yeah. Fun. I love that.
So are you ready to walk out into the sunshine? So thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.